You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Time to get on with the show on 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. Wednesday, February 7th, 2023. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. Beautiful day outside. A lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff to talk about. Big Would You Wednesday, John Heyman's birthday, so many things to celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
And here we are to do it with you. I'm so excited. Hope you guys are as well.
Very excited.
I love working. Once you said Heyman's birthday, I'm lit.
I mean, it should be a national holiday. I've always said that. Yeah. We both said it together. So
I want to celebrate it by setting something on fire.
Really?
Yeah. Arson.
Oh, Arson Judge. That's awful. A guy's body of work is pristine, and you bring up one mistake.
No, wow. I was just having fun with it. You can't have fun with it, and all of a sudden, you know what? Maybe I don't like him.
You think maybe it hurts him?
Well, listen. All I'm saying is if we can't joke, then I don't want no part of him.
That's interesting.
And I don't think he'd have an issue.
No, he's a great man. So happy birthday, John. So here we go. Before we get into the Jalen Brunson injury, at this point doesn't seem as serious as it might have looked when he went down. And Peter was our man at the Garden.
Oh, yeah, I was on top of
it. The Garden was like. But I want to just start off with this quick thing. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the Brooklyn Nets for showing an incredible amount of nads and not playing a tribute video to Kyrie Irving, a man who single-handedly destroyed what you were trying to do. Didn't play a tribute video a week before they played a tribute video to Kevin Durant. So that in itself was a perfect statement by the Nets that what you did is reprehensible. We'll never forget it. We're not going to celebrate you. So congratulations to the Nets, because all three of us thought they were going to play a video, right, guys? We all thought they were
going to
play.
I thought so. I mean, they split the difference by just, you know, welcoming the crew back,
right?
The three guys that were dealt away to Dallas. So it was just like, welcome back, Kyrie, and who are the other two? Off the top of my head, I can't remember. But that was what they did. So they acknowledged his return, but didn't give him a video.
All right. So here's
but the fact that they acknowledged it, Don, but in a graphic with two other players. It was wonderful.
Right. It was. I mean, Kyrie Irving is one of the best players in the world, and he was treated like lint the way he should be treated because of what
it was
to
wonderful.
The Nets. But here's what I'd like to know, and throughout the show, please. I welcome anybody. So when he was announced in the starting lineup, there was a smattering of boos and some cheers. Please, if you're one of the clown shoes that cheered, I want to know why. What were you cheering?
Because they're not Net fans, Michael. We talked about this before. There are people Kyrie fans.
Well, maybe there were Net fans there that cheered. I want to hear from them. What made you cheer this guy who was an unbelievable saboteur for what you were trying to build? What made you cheer? I want to know. I want to hear from those people.
Well,
and if they are, as you said, just Maverick fans or Kyrie fans, okay,
right.
That I understand. But if you're a Net fan that you put your hands together and clap for him, I want to know why.
But there were people, if you remember, when he was here and not playing because of the vaccine or because of social injustice or whatever, that called the show to defend him. There are people that look at Kyrie and support him. And the Nets aren't doing very well now. There was a caller, I don't remember his name, he was on the morning show, he called the morning show to say that the true villain with the Nets were the Nets themselves for not dealing Kyrie when all this was going on. When he was ineligible to play at home, they should have dealt him away. That was just one fan's opinion. But there are people that go great lengths to be that guy to support Kyrie. So I'm not surprised, Michael, that he got cheers. Some of them are Maverick fans. Some of them are Kyrie fans. And some of them just supported him blindly with the decisions he made that were here. Well, you can't say there weren't people that supported him when he was going on.
There are some people, and I certainly sympathize and understand, that understood why he didn't want to take the vaccine. So this is not about that. It's about all the other stuff. Just walking away from the team, just leaving, going AWOL for, you know, because of things going on in the country, which were going on for everybody, and everybody has to go to work. Kevin Durant went to work. Everybody went to work, but Kyrie didn't. And he's the guy who demanded to be traded. He's the guy. He is the guy. So yesterday it was fan. You know, he's inbounding the ball. A fan said, why don't you play like this when you're with the Nets? He said, blame Mayor Adams. I am not going to relitigate that. But that's just a small part of it. He's the one who decided, because the Nets didn't give him a max offer, that he wanted to be traded, which then Harden wanted to be traded, and then eventually led to Durant wanting to be traded. So he put together Durant and him to go to Brooklyn, and he's the one who single-handedly broke it down. So if there's a Net fan out there that knows how to use the phone that cheered for him yesterday, I want to know why.
I'll tell you what, I would be shocked if we didn't get a call or two supporting Kyrie.
Well,
I'm looking forward to a nice conversation. But there's Michael, Peter knows this too. There's always that guy. There's always somebody that is going to just blindly support the player. Now, whether that's politically motivated or just not liking management, whatever it is, I'm sure that there are some Kyrie fans out there that will, if they can get through, will support them.
Can't wait to talk to them. I'm in that sort of mood. Good mood. You know where I had lunch today? Do you want to know where I had lunch today?
Where?
Oh, it's very exclusive. Very exclusive. It might be more exclusive than the place I wanted to go to, Fort Charles. Hmm. I had lunch today with my wife at Rao's.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, you've been there before.
Yeah, but it's still a treat. So Fordham had a big fundraiser there for Rao's is never open for lunch, so they invited me to come, and I was there. I had a great time. Fordham's great. It's great. Had a meatball. Loved it.
You had a meatball. That's
But the size of the meatballs is about the size of your head, Don.
That's all you needed. It was a meatball.
That's all I needed.
It's beautiful.
And then we took some food home, too. So just thought I'd tell you that.
And when was this today?
And what'd they do with this?
This was today, yeah.
And what'd they do with this fundraiser?
Well, it was to raise money for NIL. You know, name, image, and likeness, which we're not going to get totally into this, but I will tell you this. If you've been following Rick Pitino on social media, he's saying how the system is broken, and he's saying how there should be a cap on what, you know, schools could spend, and, you know, what they give an athlete should be documented. And all I could think of, and I was talking to some people at this event as well, Rick Pitino is realizing, while at St. John's, his genius as a basketball coach is the ability to build the player up over a number of years where they become a Rick Pitino player. He can't do that anymore. College basketball is more of the wild, wild west than ever before, and Pitino is realizing he's got these people for 1 year, and then they'll transfer somewhere else, another school that could offer them money. And St. John's probably is not the wealthiest school in the world in terms of endowment, so they can go to, you know, a school in the ACC, in the Big Ten, whatever the case may be. I think that's why Jay Wright got out of town. It's different. It's different. Jay Wright's strength is keeping guys like Jalen Brunson and DiVincenzo and Hart for 3 or 4 years and make them Villanova players. If you got to go out every single year and reload and bring somebody in for 1 year and then lose them, you can't be the coach that you're meant to be. And also, you're not even recruiting parents anymore. You know what you're doing? A 17-year-old kid is bringing an agent. How much? How much you guys going to give me? It's a different world. I think Pitino might have been better off staying in Iona because those kids stay for 4 years. At St. John's, going to be one and done, one and done. He's never going to be able to institute his greatness. And when you see the urgency of his social media posts, he knows these rules have to change or he's in trouble. He's not going to be able to be Rick Pitino. And one other thing you see with college coaches, guys, you've seen it. They're leaving to be assistant coaches in the NFL. They don't have to beg kids and give them millions of dollars when they're 17 years old.
There's certain schools that can't do it. And you also have superpowers.
I think that's why Nick Saban left, too.
Right, because you have superpower teams that now, when it comes down to dollars and cents, well, it's still Mobile, Alabama. So their alumni may not be the billionaires that might go to school, say, at Cal.
Also, Don, of all the teams in the SEC, I think that Alabama has one of the lowest endowments. It's like seven, it's nothing compared to the other schools.
Because now it becomes like pro sport becomes big market, small market.
Yeah. Do you want to play for the Yankees? Right. Do you want to play for the Guardians?
So Alabama can print championships because they're a superpower. But at the end of the day, how many billionaires graduate from Alabama as opposed to Stanford? Or as opposed to Cal, like in the Northern California, where they're all probably getting involved in computers, or going to other schools where, you know, they now will sink, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars into the program. I mean, they can't do that at some of the smaller schools. So now all of a sudden you go from superpower to just another university in a small market that can't generate that kind of income.
Yeah, and this Fordham thing today was, you know, to raise money for NIL. They've got to be able to compete with other schools. In the Atlantic 10, you've got to be able to bring money in.
Now, maybe it could work to Fordham's advantage, Michael, because they're in New York. They probably do have graduates that are very affluent that want to give back. So it could work for Fordham. On the surface, it doesn't look like it, because am I going to win a national championship at Fordham? But maybe over time, Michael, a school like Fordham can benefit from this.
Yeah, I just think that the whole thing has to be...
I think the milk back in the udder, as you like to say. I mean, now you've done.
But they have to try to get some milk back in, because this is. I don't think schools could survive. You just can't. And I want the players to be paid, but there has to be some kind of unionization, or there has to be some kind of a program. This guy gets this. You can't keep throwing millions of dollars at 17-year-olds to stay for 1 year. Doesn't make sense.
And you look on women's sports, you know, Caitlin Clark is going to take a pay cut when she graduates.
Yep.
Because there's nobody in the NBA is going to pay her what she's making now in college basketball.
Same thing with Angel Reese.
You know, so what does it do to women's sports? Where there may be pro leagues to get into, but are they as lucrative as college sports? Because even in hockey, some of the women's programs are very well attended and people care as much. And then they want to jump over to the professional women's hockey league, and there's obviously a budget, not a lot of money to be made. And so how does that hurt women's athletes? It probably helps because it makes them stay there longer.
Yeah.
But now where do they go?
Well, I mean, in the case of something like women's hockey, Don, I'm guessing NIL now could be the whole thing. Like you'll do better there than anywhere else in your career.
No, so it definitely works for women's hockey and women's basketball for sure. But on the men's side, it's a little bit of a different story.
Let's get to Jalen Brunson. Now, Pete, well, no joke, Peter was at the game. Did you stay for when he hurt his ankle? Were you still there?
Would you like me to lie or tell you the truth?
No, I want
to. So you left, right?
That's right.
So you weren't there.
So it was a blowout.
No. It was a blowout. It was a weeknight blowout. Well, it is what it is.
Memphis actually had three non-drafted starters.
Oh, it was a G League team.
It was a dreadful. You're talking about no Ja, no Marcus Smart, no Desmond Bane. It was a repugnant game.
Yeah, it was awful. And the Knicks looked like they were on the way to a blowout. So Memphis started to hit threes in the fourth quarter. I mean, at an alarming rate. And they ended up, Knicks had a 20-point lead with 8 minutes left. So the automatic knee-jerk reaction when you're talking about a Tom Thibodeau team is, you know, it keeps guys in too long. But anybody who says that Jalen Brunson, he actually put Brunson in when it got to 20 with 8 minutes left, that Brunson should have been in the game, they don't watch the NBA. You hit five threes in a row, which is not unreasonable. That lead is gone. They were up at the beginning of the fourth quarter about 25, something like 24. And the Memphis Grizzlies, with 2 minutes left, cut it to four. So you can't say, well, he got hurt because you brought him in a blowout game. There are no blowout games with 8 minutes left in the NBA. Sorry, there's not. The one thing about the Memphis Grizzlies, they live and die the way they're structured now. If they hit threes, they're in games. If they don't, they don't. So they didn't hit threes for the first half. They got blown out. Then they slowly hit some in the third, and then the fourth they just became red hot. And when they cut it to four, DiVincenzo hit a monster dagger three that, you know, gave the Knicks some breathing room. They ended up winning by 10. But because they had to bring him in, because you can't say a 20-point lead is a blowout, that it's insurmountable, Thibodeau brought him in and he hurt his ankle. I don't think anybody gets blamed here. It's just the basketball gods frowned on Jalen Brunson. They've been frowning on the Knicks a lot. So you have to hope that he's not out for a while. Now, the smart play for the Knicks, if his ankle is bothering him, and he walked off under his own power, is you probably don't play him tomorrow against the Mavs. And you probably don't play him at all until the All-Star game. And then you probably gently hint to him, maybe you shouldn't play in the All-Star game. Because without Randall, and then if you take Brunson out of the equation, you got no chance. You got no chance. But I'm not putting any blame on Thibodeau. That's ridiculous to think like that. One of the strengths of the Knicks is that they play pedal to the metal all the time. That's why they're good. Now all of a sudden you're going to change because you're good? The thing that got you good is that you don't give guys nights off. There's no load management with the Knicks. And you can't argue about putting the star back in 20 points with 8 minutes left. That's not undoable. And the Mavericks showed it wasn't undoable. So we got to cross our fingers, because even Hart's knee is barking, and has been barking most of the year. And, you know, he ended up staying in the game. But these are guys you have to have, guys.
But the thing is, in the NBA, even with a team that literally started three undrafted players to begin the game and were down like 15-2 in the blink of an eye, it was ridiculous, is that teams can come back and they can use the three to make a non-competitive game competitive. The big teams like the Bucks, the Celtics, the Nuggets, and maybe even the T-Wolves at this point, can sacrifice a game and say, all right, I'm willing to blow this lead to rest my guy. The Knicks can't do that. The Knicks want to win every game they can. If they want to finish as a 3 seed or possibly a 2 seed, they can't mail in any game. Because they can't take the chance of blowing a big lead against the Grizzlies at home when you're trying to win every game you can, Michael. So that's the issue, is if you want to just, let's just make the playoffs. I don't care where we finish, as long as we get into the playoffs and we're fresh. If you want to do that, then you probably bench Brunson in the 20-point lead and run the risk of possibly blowing the game. But if you want to finish if you want to finish 2 or 3 and get home court advantage in the first round, then you have to do this, Michael, because you can't sacrifice games.
I agree, and there's a big difference finishing 6th and finishing 2nd, 3rd, or 4th. There just is.
But the Celtics can sit there and go, oh, maybe we'll blow a few games here, and maybe we'll finish 2nd. They don't care because they don't see the difference. But the Knicks can't afford to do that.
Let's take some calls. 1-800-919-3776. And we'll start with Jeff in Brooklyn. Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
A Brooklyn Nets fan ever since New Jersey.
Okay.
All right? Now, with the Kyrie Irving situation, I'm a big fan of the kid. But I never wanted him to come to Brooklyn. And I promise you I did not cheer him yesterday. I was not cheering him because he single-handedly destroyed this team. And you want to know what stung the most was his press conference after the game. He did not want to take no accountability. Guy was talking about something about moving forward and stuff like that. Bro, you messed up a beautiful thing that we had for Brooklyn, New York, all together. Like, you know, you messed that up. And because you were arrogant and you wanted to get paid, you should have just played and earned your money. Earn your keep. He didn't do that.
But he said
did not do that at all. So I cannot. I as much as I love Kyrie and I stayed with him with all through the everything, the way he went out, I could never. As a genuine Nets fan, I can never ever root for him, especially when he come and play against us, because you messed us up. And another point I want to make: Sean Marks needs to get rid of Jacques Vaughn, or he needs to go, because this team is we're wasting a season away. These young men, you can tell, they don't even want to play for this guy no more. Like, this team is like, this is organization malpractice. I am a livid Nets fan. I'm just trying to keep it real professional talking to you guys. I am not happy with the way the Nets are playing.
But, Jeff, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, he's Greg Popovich, but they're not winning because they don't have enough talent right now.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're just not good. I mean, how is it Jacques Vaughn's fault? I mean, he's going to ultimately take the fall, but it's not a great roster. You got Ben Simmons in and out on a minutes limitation. I mean, what do you want the guy to do?
And here's the deal with Kyrie. I don't know if we have the sound, but I heard it earlier today where he said, you know, we didn't win a championship. Championships are important, but there were things that were more important. Meaning you know, not taking the vaccine, the social issues. That was always our rub, is that the guy wasn't all in. And he admits that. Like, he wanted to win. He wants to win games, but there are other things that come up, other stances, other things that he puts ahead of basketball. That's just who he is. And I guess in some cases, it's an admirable trait. But as long as you're an NBA player, you can't afford to do that. This is what he said, guys.
I'm a New Jerusalem or New Jersey kid all the way through and through, man. Everything that I've learned about myself has come from being in the city and being in Jersey. So when I got an opportunity to play for the New Jersey Nets or play for the Brooklyn Nets, I always make that mistake because for me, it was a childhood dream. You know, I left the NBA Finals game watching J-Kid play, watching Kerry Kittles play, watching Keenan Martin play. I left that game. I was sitting up in the nosebleeds with my dad and my sister, and I went home, and that's when I decided I wanted to become an NBA player. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of the next generation watching. I got to experience the highs and lows of being part of two Eastern Conference Finals, watching them get very close and be defeated. But what I learned is I don't want that to be us, and that was the motivation and the drive. Obviously, I fell short in terms of the championship aspirations, but for me, I think it was bigger than a championship here. I had to really take some moral stances that propelled me into a place in my life that I had to become accustomed to. There were some political things that were going on here as well that I couldn't control, that I was responsible for. There were some things that I did on my accord that I look back on, and they were mistakes, and I have to, you know, be accountable for those things.
All right. So, right, Peter? I mean, you can look at that and go, all right, admirable. But I guess if you're a Net fan, and you're a Net executive, and you're paying him to be an NBA player, and he puts things ahead of a championship, ahead of the team, I could see where that's going to rub you the wrong way. Because you'd like to think that everybody on your team is all in. And the thing with Kyrie, as admirable as it may be, there were several things that got in the way of him playing NBA basketball.
And it wasn't just the Nets. So you can't say it was the vaccination stuff. He wanted out of Cleveland. He talked his way out of Boston, talked his way out of Brooklyn. He'll end up talking his way out of Dallas, too. Because he's too smart for his own good and not as smart as he thinks he is. And
just like A-Rod.
Yeah. I think they're almost the same person. Peter, what was the New Jerusalem? I'm sure that was a Freudian slip. What was that about?
No, it's not. It's a nickname for Newark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
New Jerus.
All right. Let's go to Fred in Washington Heights.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Fred. Good. How you doing?
Talked to you guys before. I'm 90 years old, and I'm old school. Don, I respect your viewpoints. Kyrie is more conscious of what's going on in the world. And if he's willing to give up money to do this, I respect that.
Yeah, but, now, but one thing though, Fred, but when you're part of a team, you're letting your team down when you do that. So, yeah, if you're willing to give up money, and he got paid most of the time. I'm not sure about the vaccine stuff at home. I don't think he got paid for that. But he let his team down for his stances.
I have to bring this in, and I know you guys don't want to hear it. What happened to Mark Jackson?
I don't know.
Yeah, nobody talks about Mark Jackson. It's based on
the
same thing. I just said it. Nobody.
No. 2 weeks ago, we talked about when Mark Jackson didn't get a job. We talked about
what it is today.
Yep.
Mark Jackson made Golden State what it is.
Absolutely.
And they cut him like butter.
Yeah, but Fred,
when he was with the Knicks, they used to gather in the center and pray before they played ball.
Well, I don't. Well, Fred, thank you. That has nothing to do with it. There's something deeper that is not being discussed. It's almost like.
Wait, but who cares? I'm sorry, real quick. What did that have to do with Kyrie? Sorry, I'm real quick.
Yeah, it didn't. But my point is, he has not had a sniff at another coaching job since Golden State. Not a sniff. Now, I love Mark Jackson. I'm friends with Mark Jackson. But there must be something there that people are thinking. That same thing with Bienemy. When people don't get jobs for a long period of time, even Jeff Van Gundy, there's got to be something that we don't understand.
I think what the caller is trying to allude to, and I've thought about this myself, is that Mark Jackson is a man of God. And does that rub the current player the wrong way? If he's a very moralistic guy, is he a judgmental guy? But all I know is a lot of players, before an interview even starts, they want to thank God for the win.
So I can't imagine
that that's the issue. So if he wants to go there, he's entitled to have that opinion. Well,
Don, then he's also tying that to Kyrie.
Well, he's trying to tie it to Kyrie in the sense that, hey, he's got bigger fish to fry, and he respects the people that don't put basketball number one, the people that put God number one, the people that put the politics and what's going on in the world as number one. He respects that, and that's what I said. I can understand that some of those feelings are admirable, but I can also understand when I'm trying to build a basketball team, I'm not sure I can build it around a guy that in any moment can decide, I'm not going to play. Yes, he did sacrifice money. I get it. Good on him, but how am I supposed to build a franchise around the best player knowing that at any moment now something may happen that he'll put ahead of basketball and then disappear for 2 weeks? I can't do that.
You know how I celebrate the man? You might not agree. Novak Djokovic, right? He wouldn't take the vaccine. He cost himself chances to win majors. All of that. That's him. He didn't hurt anybody else. When you're a member of a team and all of a sudden you take these moral stands and your teammates are not taking those stands, you're hurting them. When you're a member of a team, you have to make team decisions too. Are you a real teammate?
Well, and also, I'm sorry, when you decide to go rogue in post-documentaries and get into conversations about anti-Semitism that are total distractions and you get suspended, that also has nothing to do with real beliefs. That has to do with not paying attention to stuff and reposting stuff because you're that guy. Like, I want to support... There have been many times when I've wanted to support Kyrie, and I appreciate the gentleman who just called liking someone who stands on beliefs 100%. But you got to do the work and know what your beliefs are. Kyrie, like Aaron Rodgers, has always been sure that they're right on everything, and sometimes they've just flatly dropped the ball. And I don't think you have to celebrate them just because they happen to get really behind an idea that they failed on.
I will come back. First, Don's going to tell us about BetMGM.
Now, there's never been a better time for football fans to bet the big game than with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and get all in on the action for the biggest Sunday of the football season. Can't be in Vegas for the big game? BetMGM app brings the gridiron action to you with a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and player props. The BetMGM app is your betting home for the big game. From spectacular catches to game-winning drives, BetMGM makes every play matter more than ever. Catch the game-winning drives, download the app today, and discover why BetMGM is your first choice for the final kickoff. The big game is here, and end zone excitement doesn't get any bigger than this. Get off the bench and into the huddle with the king of sportsbooks. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21-plus years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. Don LaGreca here to tell you about my friends at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy, one expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It was done in one day with no demo or mess. It's beautiful, high quality, permanent solution. Bath Fitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom. For a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There is only one Bath Fitter.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
One quick thing about the Kyrie situation. He became such a pain in the rear end that forced James Harden to ask for a trade. He didn't want to be part of it. He could see exactly what was going on, that winning was not foremost in this guy's mind. There are other more important things, and that's fine, except that when you're a member of a team, that's bad. Then when they don't give him the max offer, he gets his nose out of joint, then he demands to be traded, and after he demands to be traded, Durant is the last guy standing, and he said, well, I want out too. That's exactly how it played out. If you're a Net fan, how could you have any warm feelings about Kyrie Irving? How could you do it? How could you think, wow, that was a good era? No, it wasn't an ERA. It was an ERROR. It was just so messed up what he did. We always joke about Phil Jackson was probably a saboteur. Wow. I mean, Kyrie Irving has all the makings of a saboteur. Destroyed the franchise.
And also, there's no more aware sport than the NBA. You're telling me LeBron James doesn't take a stand on things, doesn't care about things? Does he miss the amount of time that Kyrie does? So you can look at it as admirable that he does put other things ahead of basketball. But is he the only one in the NBA? Is the only one in professional sports? Everybody else realizes, yeah, I'd like to take a stand here, but I also I'm part of a team. They need me. I got to play. Be Maya Rudolph then, right? Is that who it was?
No.
Who was it? The woman that gave up basketball... Maya Moore, excuse me. Maya Rudolph goes back a long time ago. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you always brought it up during the Kyrie thing. Listen, if you want to put everything ahead, then don't play basketball anymore. You've made more than enough money and go fight for social justice. And I think everybody would be think it's great if you did that.
And I think all three of us, when all of that stuff was happening in the world, everything, the political stuff, all of that stuff, it hurt. I mean, we were coming on the air and our mind was in a different many different places, but you have a job to do. You've made a commitment. You have a contract. We weren't going to solve the world's problems. Kyrie didn't solve the world's problems. He just destroyed the Brooklyn Nets. That's what he did. Hey, the Michael K Show is going to be live from UBS Arena tomorrow.
Oh, you bet it will be.
Yeah, it's before the Islanders face off against Tampa Bay Lightning. Doors are going to open at 5 p.m. for fans to catch the show before the game. So join the New York Islanders for some fun in February. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for every thrilling matchup. Get your tickets today, NewYorkIslanders.com/Feb. That's short for February. You know, a lot of people have pushed back and said, you know, UBS Arena is not on the island.
It technically is, because Brooklyn's part of the island, technically.
So, I mean, people are saying that it's quite literally in Queens. Peter, you're good at this stuff. Is it literally in Queens? Because I thought Elmont, Long Island, it's in Elmont, where Belmont Raceway is.
I think the building itself
is literally on Long Island.
Right.
In Long Island, I should say, because it's all on Long Island. And Queens is like practically in the parking lot. I think it's that close.
So, who was it? You that was corrected, Don, on social media. Somebody was corrected that you keep saying it's on Long Island, but it's really in Queens. It's real. Essentially,
town is it in?
No. Technically, Brooklyn and Queens are both on Long Island. So we will be on Long Island the next 2 days.
Listen,
all right?
I just looked it up. Elmont is a hamlet in Northwest Hempstead in Nassau County, New York. So Elmont is on Long Island. It's right at the border. But Elmont, I believe, is the first town as you enter technically Long Island. But if you want to actually talk about the island, it includes Queens. It includes parts of Brooklyn. So stop. But this is almost like the Buffalo fans saying that they're part of New York. Come on. We're going out on the island. If you don't like it, don't come.
Or if you think it's in Queens, come and say it's Queens.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Either way. You know what? Well, I'm happy to agree with you. Whatever you want.
Just come by and say hi. So can we say who our guests are tomorrow, Anthony, or is that secret?
I don't think it's a secret.
We're going to have Lou Lamoriello on.
This
he doesn't do many of these things.
I got to tell you, I just went through my memory bank of the 30 years that I've known the man. And I've interviewed him many times on this show, other shows. I don't think I've ever spoken to him in person on the air. He doesn't do that.
I think we had him once when he got hired by the Islanders.
Right, and we on the phone.
Yeah.
And I've had him many times on the phone when he was with the Devils. He's been on the show when he was with the Devils. And, you know, and I've gotten the remotes and stuff, and he'd always be on the phone. Like, he would never come to the remote. So this is a first for me, and I'm sure it's a first for you and Peter as well. And it may literally be the first time that he has done something live on radio in person and not over the phone.
Ray Rowe. Not me. I hung with him at Summer Jam last year.
No, I've hung with the guy. He also signed the kid's journal.
So what was his favorite artist at Summer Jam, Peter?
Thank you, Michael, for picking up on the sarcasm. Ice Spice. He was
Ice
really,
Spice.
He was
Who doesn't like Ice Spice, you know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot to like, you know what I mean?
Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mikey, Mike.
Michael, Don, Peter, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Good, you?
I'm good. So I want to talk about the whole Tom Thibodeau, Brunson injury, et cetera. It makes me so frustrated when people talk about Thibodeau wearing players out. I wasn't mad that Brunson was in the game yesterday. I was mad because the Grizzlies decided to turn into Steph Curry in his prime and made the game interesting. I can't take it. Like, it frustrates me. Tom Thibodeau plays his players. His players want to play every single day. There was nothing wrong with that. And that game, it's basketball, and that game was not over yet. And the injuries... injuries are part of sports. That's what it is. You know, when Julius Randle got injured, they were up 17 points with 4 minutes left. The Miami Heat had their starters still in, so why would the Knicks take theirs out? The Heat is still trying to win the game. It makes me frustrated.
I agree with you, Mike.
Tom Thibodeau is such a great coach. I'd rather eat spaghetti off Don's stomach than listen to people complain about Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, wow.
Listen, you know what? It's a nice flat surface now, so enjoy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big gaping belly button, too, Mike, so a lot of pasta could be in there.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. Right out of it.
I agree with you, Mike. Thank you for the phone call. Hey, the bottom line is, what do you like? Do you like coaches like Greg Popovich with the load management? Or do you want a coach that plays your players all the time?
You do realize, like I said before, that when a team decides to rest their stars, they are telling you, we don't care if we lose the game. They're not telling you, we think we can win without them.
We don't care the money that you spent to go see the game.
We don't care if we win this game. The Knicks don't play that game. Now, part of the reason they don't play that game is because they can't afford to, but also because I just think the way they're built as a team, that they appreciate going out there and giving effort every single night, and they don't want to take a knee on any game. And I'd much rather that in sports than, you know what? I know that there's 18,000 people in the building, and I know the game's on national television, but we don't care. When is that ever a good idea?
Let's go to Mike in the Bronx. Mike, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? I had a question. I'm still like iffy on this whole Knicks trade deadline situation. Mm-hmm. Be honest, if Mikal Bridges is there, do we get him or do we wait for one of these big names? Because I'm not really feeling like the Devin Booker trade during the summer or any of that stuff. And Peter, how did you feel about Monday, the all of the Rocky Sucks chance? Did it feel like you were a kid again?
I know, right? I got to tell you, I did not anticipate this many people chanting Rocky Sucks whenever The Rock shows up. I don't think anyone anticipated that. That's going to be fascinating to see. They have the big press event after we get off the air tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern time, the big press event from Vegas where The Rock and Roman will have their moment. So we'll see what happens.
Are you sure they weren't booing Natalie's dog?
No one ever said that about The Rock.
But who calls The Rock Rocky?
Oh, wrestling fans do.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
And have you ever met Rocky?
Rocky the dog?
Yeah.
Of course I have.
Wonderful. Why would anybody think that he sucks?
Yeah. He couldn't. He took in the Knicks game last night like a gentleman. Enjoyed himself.
As a support dog for you.
I got to know Rocky real well recently. Tremendous animal.
I love the sounds that come out of Rocky's body, though. That's fun.
I appreciate every moment. Because
Peter,
we don't know how long we're going to have him.
We keep interrupting you, Peter.
No, and by the way, Don, Michael should appreciate that as a man who appreciates the elderly.
Right.
You should really
exactly. You should instantaneously respect Rocky.
So,
right, Rocky's.
I'm a little jealous though, about something.
Go
so
ahead.
Today is the great Ray Santiago's birthday.
I know. Yeah, sure.
Wasn't it just RJ's birthday? What a show. What's going on over
there? So the DiPietro and Rothenberg show, because Rick and Dave are gentlemen, they took them out to lunch. And they have a picture posted, or at least one of the people that was there at the lunch. At the station, Don, who do you think showed up at the lunch or late breakfast?
At the station?
Yeah.
Well, I would think that, what time was it?
It was probably right after the show.
So at 10 in the morning, they had a brunch or something?
Because I guess, yeah.
Then I would think
it
Alan,
feels like a post-show brunch.
Alan and no, Bart no. were in today, so I would think maybe they came in early.
No. Pinhead Sue John was there.
Well, that's just...
But you know then, who else was there.
It's Zelig. I mean, Brownshire, the snurrer, shows up there. It's unbelievable. But anyway, the point I was trying to make, you know who else was there?
Who?
Debbie Duhaime.
Well, they make her a major part of the show.
I understand, but if we were all on fire... And like Brandi Scott was sipping from a Dixie cup, she would not pour it on our head to put it out. And yeah. Debbie Duhaime is part of the family.
Well, maybe we need to treat her better.
We have never met Brandi Scott. We used to hang out all the time with previous traffic people.
Why do I feel like this is our fault, though?
It's not our fault.
Peter, I think it's our fault. Oh.
The relationship with
are we making enough of an effort to make her part of the show?
We talked to her before every throw, and she ignores us.
I understand.
I'll do it again.
That is an issue. But have we reached out? Have we invited her to any of our events? Let's be honest.
The truth is, I don't think she ever hears the show.
But that's thinking. What about knowing and picking up a phone and saying, "Hey, we're going to be at UBS tomorrow. Why don't you swing by, be part of the show, do the updates live?"
You know what? I'm going to do that when I throw to her right after this read.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And I want to hear what she says. Yeah. Maybe she'll listen.
Good idea.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. And with DraftKings same game parlays, everyone's got a shot at an even bigger win for Super Bowl 58. String together multiple bets from the big game for a shot at making your payday even sweeter. Can Mahomes and the Chiefs go back-to-back? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code EMPIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58, with code EMPIRE. The crown is yours. You must be 21 plus, physically present in New York. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Well, when I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and of course my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition even when the game goes into extra innings. Now, I refuse to settle, and neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea and take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea. Join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. It's uncomfortable.
No, I don't think I could.
Really?
But she's total smoke show.
At times incriminating.
Well, hold on.
Let's not be rash.
Don, hold on, but don't answer yet.
And a Michael K. Show favorite.
Michael, you're such a child.
It's the Would Ya Game.
We play off the air all the time. Yeah. The Would Ya Game.
I've got some interesting ones today. This is a quick one. Quick hit right at the start. Would you rather fly or would you rather be able to be invisible?
We've done this.
Fly.
Fly?
We've done it.
Fly. All right. Would you rather see 10 minutes into the future or 100 years into the future?
100.
10 minutes into the future or 100 years
into the future? Sounds like a lot of fun.
I hate when Don and I just agree on everything.
Yeah, but I'll fight you on that. If you do 10 minutes into the future and you know what the lottery numbers are, you become a millionaire, and a multimillionaire.
All right.
You're 10 minutes into the future, you go to Belmont Park, you're going to win thousands of dollars.
Thousands.
Hmm.
100. Yeah, I hear you. But if I could see what's happening 100 years in the future, I could change the world.
Right. You can see what's big and invest in it ahead of time.
Yeah, but you're not going to. What happens in 100 years? You're not going to be around 10 minutes from now. You can revel in what you get. All right, well, we'll give you the typical one that you guys like. Would you guys rather be burned alive or drowned?
You know what? This is disgusting.
I've heard people in movies, I heard it somewhere described as drowning as like a big wet hug from God. So I'll go with that. Both are awful, but...
No, yeah, both are awful, and I seriously fear both. I fear drowning more. Cause
really?
Because it feels... more realistic, although people do, fires happen, and I have a friend who died in a fire. It's a real thing. But I think you're probably right, Don, that ultimately, as bad and scary as the drowning is, once you pass out, which is relatively quickly, you never feel anything. Whereas the burning alive, God forbid, I have to imagine you're feeling that for a long time.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's a really terrible ask by you, but I think you got to go drowning.
It's really evil.
All right, now this one is very deep. Would you rather know for sure, that there is no God and no afterlife, or not know at all?
I think I'd rather not know.
I think I'd rather not know.
Because...
Yeah, I think you got to go with not know, right?
Because if there is nothing, then you're going to fear death even more.
Like me.
So the idea that you could be moving on to a better place, moving on to a place where you can see family members that are no longer with us, then it might not be as bad. So that's what you want to cling to.
All right, so this one is right along these lines, also very deep and very esoteric. Would you rather eat chocolate flavored poop or poop flavored ice cream?
Well, then no, you go with the... You go with the chocolate flavored poop.
Chocolate soft serve.
I got to tell you, I think we're getting into a lot of repeat. This is like...
I never had this one, Don.
I don't remember this one.
If it wasn't this, it was almost exactly the same.
So you want to just end the segment, Peter? You kill Joy? Is that what you want?
No, I want you to be better.
Now, here's why I say the chocolate flavored poop. Is because at least there's something good, the chocolate flavor.
Right.
What is ice cream but its flavor?
So what would you say? You said you'd want the ice cream.
No. I said I would want the chocolate-flavored poop.
But it could also be sick, sickening.
Yeah, I want to go poop-flavored ice cream for that exact reason. I'm not eating poop.
But where do you think they get the flavor from, Peter? No, no. If you tell me it's artificial, but if it's actual,
it is artificial.
Of course, it's artificial.
Well, we don't know that.
Mixing poop into the ice cream.
Well, he's saying it's poop flavored ice cream, but it's just a flavor.
Oh well, then I thought you were talking about that it would be like natural flavors. There'd be like hunks of poop in it. No, but if you get like a nice vanilla or a bit like strawberry, there's bits of strawberry in it.
Well, you're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point, because it's actually, if you're telling me that it's poop in ice cream, then I would rather have, because what flavored. Is ice cream but the flavor of the ice
cream? All right, so when you have strawberry ice cream, a lot of times it's not just chunks, it's just strawberry flavoring. This is poop flavor.
I want
flavor.
The real stuff.
All right.
Well, say, if it just, adjust it, made from real poop. Then
no,
I would rather
not made
well, then
from
it's
real
not,
poop.
Then it's too easy. I'm trying to do the work for you, Michael. Then the obvious answer would be the ice cream. But Peter, isn't it more interesting if it's naturally flavored poop ice cream?
No, it's not interesting at all, because they're both terrible.
And you got to make a choice between two things that are equally terrible. All that right. makes it fun.
Let's move
Did
on.
Did we lose the whole essence of this now?
Who knows what poop tastes like? Could be a delight.
See, that, by the way, that's proof that we've already done this. But you have to remember, Don, the point of it is would you rather? And when he says the rather and says it's either poop that is ice cream or whatever the hell it was, it means one or the other. He can't mean both. And then it's not a would you rather.
Thank you for understanding the game, Peter. No, all right, so here's the last one.
No, you don't understand.
I understand the game. You don't.
No.
This one is very difficult. And I think this will regain Peter's faith in me. Peter and Don, would you rather painfully die during the apocalypse or live to try surviving after the apocalypse?
I like the fact that you added the painfully.
Right.
Now, now you're back on board. Now you get it. I think I want to live after. Try to see if we can make it work.
Like the show Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And January Jones is in that. That's worth it, no?
Yeah, always. No Benanti, but, you know.
Oh, January Jones.
What about you, Peter?
I think I want to get to the other side.
With zombies and everything after the apocalypse, you're good with that.
You're not. You didn't guarantee. There was no zombie guarantee.
What happens after an apocalypse? What have we seen in movies?
There's a zombie apocalypse, but you're talking about, like,
you didn't say zombie.
Oh, it's just an apocalypse. It's not pleasant after the apocalypse, is what I'm saying.
No, but
it's
just fighting to try to survive.
Well, like, did me and Natalie make it?
I didn't go that deep.
Because that's the thing. If I'm solo, roaming the planet by myself,
yeah, you
I
don't
suppose,
seem like a survivalist.
I think I'd rather die. But if you're saying that I might have family, or you know, Natalie and Bear make it, Rocky. Well,
Rocky's
four of
not
us?
Making an apocalypse.
You have no. By the way, every day for Rocky's an apocalypse, and
right.
he's still
so
going.
He's not making through a real apocalypse.
If it's going to be that kind of apocalypse, if you're talking about an apocalypse, then yeah, I'd rather be dead.
See ya. All right, so
but
I'm going to add one
but
more.
It's a painful death, Peter. Why wouldn't you want to fight for your life?
By the way, it's also being told that you've already done drowning in fire as well. You may have repeated three from today.
Yeah, this is a tough day.
Who said
I did Drowning in Fire?
Drowning in Fire is good old Midnight Moore on Twitter.
I've got copious records of this stuff. This one I've asked in some way, shape, or form. Would you rather be ugly and rich or poor and good looking?
Well, ugly and rich.
By the way, I basically already am that. Yeah, so I'm going to stick with where I'm at.
What? Poor and good looking?
No.
So you consider yourself rich? I don't consider you ugly.
Well, I'm probably closer to ugly and rich than good looking and poor.
Interesting.
How about this?
Right, Don? Let's be realistic.
No question.
I know what we're working with.
Is that it, Michael?
Oh, Mike Kafka.
Yeah.
The offensive coordinator of the Giants has now been promoted to assistant head coach.
At first I thought it said Mia Khalifa, and this is really disappointing.
That would be odd. It doesn't sound like Dable.
Now, what's the motivation behind
Dable,
that?
Like a table?
Well, maybe he's being offered good jobs as offense coordinators other places, and you know, I guess you can allow a lateral move. But
so they must really like him.
Yeah.
Not enough
remember,
to play
there were
well.
A lot of stories that he didn't get along with his coordinators. I guess he does.
Well, he's the last man standing of the coordinators, but it wasn't exactly a great offense, but they must see something that doesn't necessarily translate into points. But it did play better later in the season.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.